We left off the previous year discussing the requirement of lack thereof of sirtut as it relates to certain kinds of mitzvahs that involve ksiva. So the starting point of our entire sugya was that any and every time you write any letters from Kisvei HaKodesh, provided you write a minimum of a few words, four words as the details, but all of a sudden you're required to have sirtut. You have to pick a line, you have to pick the line straight. And yet, it has a very cryptic statement in Maseches Berachos that tefillin ain't shichin sirtut. So when it comes to the parishes, the tefillin, don't worry about it. There's no requirement whatsoever to do sirtut. The question is, why is that so? How can it be? On the one hand, even psukim from Yoel that appear in the Gemara says, Gideon requires sirtut. Tefillin, Shema Yisrael. How are you talking? How can it be that they don't require sirtut? So we had three different approaches in the Rishonim what the answer to that question was. The Benitab explained to us that the sirtut of Maseches Gideon, that's an absolute requirement, is only talking about the top line. And in fact, tefillin also requires the top line. The sirtut of Menachos that the Gemara is saying that tefillin don't need, let's talk about the subsequent lines. But the reality is tefillin is not any different than anything else. Well, it's only the same. Tefillin needs the same standard of sirtut that anything else needs. There are certain other chafat v'shar mitzvah, also perhaps Torah, that require an even higher level of sirtut, but tefillin are really pretty much on par with everything else. And we saw the other v'shar mitzvah in the time. Tosef and Sefer said, you know, the tefillin and shichat sirtut means there was a special halacha v'shar mitzvah. That tefillin are different. And then we saw the view of the Ramban, that tefillin are different, not because of Halacha Moshinei, because of a very simple reason. The Ramban said the whole goal of sirtut is Laman Yaretz HaKaribam. Somebody should be able to read it clearly, should make a mistake in terms of reading the lines. Tefillin, no one's reading tefillin. Tefillin are locked up, behind the batim, inside the parchment, and therefore no one's going to read it anyway. Therefore there's no requirement for sirtut. So we have three different approaches as to why the halacha is that tefillin ain't shichat sirtut. But the next question that we should deal with is that, okay, tefillin don't need sirtut, but not everything that is not needed is necessarily not performed. Should one do sirtut? Is that a nice thing to do? Is that a preferable thing to do? So yes, I agree, tefillin ain't shichat sirtut, that in terms of are they possible without sirtut, the answer is clearly they're not. Is that something we should encourage, we should strive for to do sirtut? So comes a group of Rishonim and say, like, why? Why would you do it? If you don't have to do it, so why would you do it? They invoke a famous statement of the Rishami. Rishami says that a potter in a dove of Yoseo Nikra Hedyot, that if a person is exempt from doing something, and they go ahead and be machgrin, I don't have to, but I want to be machgrin to do it. So Rishami says, that's foolish. If you're potter, potter. The example that's usually associated with it is Yoram Dikshom and Sukkis. The halacha says that when it rains and sukkahs, you potter from sitting in the sukkah. Maybe the first night is different, but the rest of the week, if it's raining, see a potter. The guy said, I want to be extra from, I'm an extra mahadra chavitzis, I'm going to sit in the sukkah in the pouring rain. So the Rishami says, Nikra had your foolish, you're getting wet, and you're accomplishing nothing. So to Abhiya, says, that maybe not only a tzvon, it's yichin. But because it's intuitive, it really would make no sense to do it. So that's the approach that Tosfos takes in our sugya. Let's take a look at the fourth iteration comes for a moment. Well, that's what we're going to say. We're going to say, is there any in your hiddur altogether? That's exactly what that's the direction that we're going into. So let's take a look at the fourth iteration comes. It's the fourth of the bold lines. Om Rabbeinu Tam, know the line. That the aim is sartek tefillin achoshit v'shita. Says the Benitam, not only do you not have to do sirtut on each line, don't do sirtut on every line of tefillin. Again, notice where Benitam's lashon was. He didn't say not to do sirtut altogether. Of course, you have to do the top line. This is where Benitam should also that the top line is not negotiable. But to do it on every single line, nah. Can the Amar Labi Rishami program with Likin kalapotam idavav yoseu nikra hediot. It says Rabbi Natan quotes the Yerushalmi, if you're putter, so don't bother doing it. And if you do it, you consider it to be foolish. However, let's skip down a little bit, Rabbi Natan, towards the end of the bold lines. It's the second line from the bottom of the bold lines. Umiyu, if ain't a sofa yochel licht of yofa below sirtut, so I'm going to say that Choshit Mishit Mishim Zakir Ganbehu. Says Rabbi Natan, But what if the sofer can't write straight? He can't do it out sefer. It's going to look messy. So then Rabbi Adam says, then good. Then we actually encourage you to do sefer because of Zekele Ben Berzik. There's the source for Hidden Mitzvah. This is the throwback we mentioned at the end of the Shia. Right as the Shia was ending on Wednesday, that we thought when Ramban presented it, that the focus of the Sirtut is on the Kore, that the person should be able to read it smoothly. Here now, Ben Adam is backpedaling and saying that part of Sirtut is also that the Sofer should write properly, it should look nice, it should look muhudar. So it says Rabbi Adam, you don't have to do it, but if you feel there's the need to do it, then we, in fact, will encourage you to do it. Not on the din of Sirtut per se, but simply to make it look nice, because Mishum Zekel Ben Beir. So notwithstanding what Rabbi Natan says here, there are other opinions, other Tosafot in other places that question even that, that say, no, there's no need, there's no purpose to do Sirtut, even if you're a sloppy sofer, don't bother, don't waste any time doing Sirtut. Have the tefillah look messy. It's a strange concept. We spend a lot of money that our mitzvah should look nice. So then somebody should say, Hidu mitzvah doesn't apply to parashios of tefillin. It applies to Sefer Torah, it applies to a lulav, it applies to a sukkah, applies to peritzitis. It doesn't apply to the parashas of tefillin. Why not? Because nobody sees them anyway. That's a loaded question. The halacha of hashkafa. Now, one opinion also says, Hidu mitzvah is only on things that are seen. Nobody sees it. Then there's no mitzvah of Hidu mitzvah altogether. You save yourself a couple of dollars. That's a very striking concept. It almost gives off the impression that Hidu mitzvah is a little bit more of a show off. I should walk in the shul and say, ooh, Sobolowski brought the $300 restaurant. Yeah, ooh, wow, that's Hidu mitzvah. It's a very, very hard concept for us to swallow. That's not what Bali says. That's something we should have meant. We should have meant that the goal of Hidu mitzvah is Kishmoy Kenu. Zeh Kelev Yanvei, almost like Zeker, or Eva Kadesh. It means we should see it. By seeing it, that's going to enhance a Shevach for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So every time I see, beautiful Esther, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this wonderful mitzvah. That's a Shevach L'Adai to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now look how serious people take mitzvahs. I spent $300 for the Esther. Well, that's a chizr. Nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. Nobody knows what's inside their bayis. So the whole goal of the mitzvah to lead to a shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to accomplish anything. Don't bother. Save your money. Fascinating shita. It's interesting because that idea that Hidu mitzvah is sometimes used as a gauge, sometimes the barometer to measure Hidu mitzvah is the fira osa inayim, the way people perceive things, the way people see things. So that has a little bit of an expression, a little bit of esrog as well. We know there are very, very complicated sugyas in the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah about different things that can go wrong with an esrog. Yes, it's got this blister, it's got this pimple, it's got this mark, got this color, all the different nuances of what can go wrong with an esrog. And most of the dinim that disqualify an esrog are to some degree an extension of Hidu mitzvah, either because in general there's Hidu mitzvah, or maybe there's a unique din of Hidu mitzvah in esrog because it creates hadar, whatever, that's many details in Masechta Sukkah, but everybody agrees that there are definitely aspects of esrog that are hidur oriented. So the halacha tells us that if you have certain problems, certain blemishes on an esrog, depending on where they're situated in the esrog, will make all the difference in the world. If they're on the top part of the esrog, that's more of a problem. If they're on the bottom part of the esrog, that's less of a problem. And it's the kosher that that's significantly less of a problem. Why is that? So the Gemara and the Mishnah explain. Because people see the top. Usually when you look at something, so your eyes hit the top of the esrog. You're not looking so carefully at the bottom part of the esrog. So therefore, any blemish, any mum, any pagam in the esrog that's clear to the eyes is going to be more of a problem if it's on the top than it's on the bottom. Why does it make a difference? Because the Baruch Hu sees the esrog, sees the top, sees the bottom. I know there's a problem at the bottom. So Teretz is because Hidur is viewed through the eyes of literally through the beauty through the eyes of the beholder. I mean, it's something that has to be near like I am in order for it to conjure up an image of a beauty or a lack thereof. That's the reason why the Poskim say, let's say there's something very, very small in an Esrog, a little small problem in the Esrog, and you can only see it if you really look at it carefully. I'm not even talking about under a microscope, I'm talking about, but you have to look at it, really, really stare at it carefully. The Poskim say, that's not really a problem. You have to hold the Esrog like you would normally hold it in front of your eyes. And whether you want to put your reading glasses on or not, you have to look at it and see. If the fear rose in I am, it's a problem. It's a problem. If I have to stare at it for 10 minutes and see that, maybe there's a little mark, a little color, a little mash over there. So that's not a chisar and hidur. You have the same idea that hidur is not only objective. There's a certain degree of perception to a heeder or lack thereof. So I hope when I get back to the story in terms of the parashas of tefillin, everybody agrees that tefillin don't require zirut. That's the gemara. Bichus tefillin and zirut zirut. Whether that means, therefore, don't do it under all circumstances or do it under certain circumstances, that depends. Do we think there's any union of hiddur mitzvah whatsoever when it comes to tefillin, at least in the parashas of tefillin? But there is a gemara in Maseches Menachos that sheds a little bit of light on this discussion. That's in the second of the Maamar Kamos. The gemara quotes a braisa. Second of Maamar Kamos says, "Torah Shabbala utfilin Shabbalu in osim mehem mezuzah v'she'ein marid mivtishachmul tishakala." When a person has a sefer Torah, it's very really old. Stop putting the sefer Torah into Sheamus. One person has parshas and tefillin, they're really getting old. It's time to put the parshas into Sheamus. But some of the parshas are still intact, or the sefer Torah, not all the sefer Torah is falling apart. It happens to be that the parshas of Shema and Vayom Shemo happen to be in very, very good shape. So a guy figured to save $3. The mezuzahs these days are very, very expensive. So the guy has an old pirat tefillin anyway. So he'll cut out the two parshas of Shema and Vayom Shemo. And he'll make a mezuzah out of it rather than going to spend $200 buying the mezuzah. Well, he has to say the Torah is about to go into Sheamus, so cut and paste the parashas and make himself a mezuzah. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. That Sefer Torah is a higher level of Kedusha than mezuzah. Even tefillin are a higher level of Kedusha than mezuzah. What makes tefillin more Kedusha than mezuzah? Because mezuzah is only two parashas. It's four parashas. You have more Kedusha Baruch Hu, it's more Sheamus about Kedusha Baruch Hu. So either a Sefer Torah tefillin that is going into Sheamus cannot be used to create a Sefer Mezuzah. So the Gemara has a question. I'll continue on the top of the third of the Maamar Kamos. That's right. But still, right. The Gemara assumes that it's a chiddush. That's also called a violation. That's right. We'd rather put it into Sheamus that it goes nowhere rather than to lower its status. Right. It's an interesting idea. So it comes in and says, "Hamar Reed Osin." The Gemara says that if not for that technicality of Ein Marid and Kedusha, there would be absolutely nothing wrong with taking parashas of Tefillin, cutting out the two parshas Shema Vayom Shemo that you need and turning that into mezuzah. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Says the Gemara, "Boy, Sirtut." The Gemara says, "Wait a second." He said, "Doesn't mezuzah require Sirtut? And don't tefillin not require Sirtut?" So therefore, if you have these parshas of tefillin, they're beautiful parshas, but there's no Sirtut. So what's the Havamini Shema Havamini to take these parshas and turn them into a mezuzah? It's going to be possible in the Torah because it's lacking Sirtut. So the Gemara and the Gemara continues, but the Amr of Yuvi Bachimke, Rav Chaim, Rav Gurim, Rav, Kol Mezuzah, Eishin, 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 any mezuzah that doesn't have the proper Sirtut is possible in the Torah. Rav Yuvi Bachimke, Didei, Amr, Sirtut, Shem, Mezuzah, Lach, Mosh, Shidai. In case you're wondering what the source of Sirtut by Mezuzah is, it's pretty serious. It goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. So it's not even on the radar screen to turn tefillin into mezuzah. So what's going on? The Gemara has a very, very difficult text. What the answer to that question is. So the Rishonim stop the Gemara in its question and say, wait a second. The Gemara says that I have this pair of tefillin, and it's, what are you even pilfering and wasting our time talking about turning it into mezuzah? You can't do that. Mezuzah needs Sirtut, tefillin don't need Sirtut. Maybe you did Sirtut. Maybe just because you don't have to do Sirtut on a tefillin, who said that you didn't do Sirtut? Maybe you did do Sirtut. So come to Rishonim and say, you see from here that ain't derech l'sartut. They don't do Sirtut. It's inconceivable. The Gemara couldn't even dream that you should find a pair of tefillin with Sirtut. It's crazy. Again, it's not going to possibly be do Sirtut, but there's no reason to ever assume you have any stamp pair of tefillin has Sirtut on. So according to the second day in Tosos that we quoted, that says there's no hiddur mitzvah to do sirtut on tefillin, nobody's going to see it anyway. Why in the right mind would everybody waste this time, be so silly and do sirtut? What are you trying to accomplish with doing sirtut? So we understand the Gemara's question very, very clearly, that the Gemara couldn't dream that there's meshug in a sefer, whoever did sirtut. So that's why the Gemara asked the question. Of course you can't go up and fill the mezuzah. But according to Rabbi Tam, who says that it's not so meshug, it's so crazy that you would do sirtut on tefillin. A lot of suffering do sirtut on tefillin. All the suffering have such great penmanship, have such great handwriting. They do sirtut on tefillin. And so why did the Gemara ask the Kasha with such strength and such conviction that how can you even dare of thinking of going from Tzul to Mezuzah? Doesn't everybody know Tzul never have Sirtu? Mezuzah always did Sirtu? What do you mean Tzul never have Sirtu? Half the time they have Sirtu. So it's a little bit harder to read this Gemara according to a Medita. According to a Medita, some of it, I would have the answer. Stomso from do know how to write nicely. The odds of having a parsha of Tzul with Sirtu are very, very unlikely. And that's what the Braisa didn't think that that was an option. But the bottom line is that the Din of the Gemara, for sure, you don't have to do Sirtu. No question about that at all. You don't need to do Sirtu. If your Pemishim isn't up to par, then we have Machlokes, two days and tests. So our practice today is that we do Sirtu until, for a very simple reason, that we seem to have followed the Urim and Adam, that if your handwriting is not so great, it's better to do Sirtu. It's hard to write without Sirtu. The bottom line is, unless you're a super duper expert so far, it's going to be hard to write without some kind of a guidance of Sirtu. So therefore, the minute is they do Sirtu, even though the Zman HaGemara wasn't the practice, clearly for the Gemara Menachos, it wasn't the practice. It doesn't possible, obviously. And according to Ben-Adam, you may have something to gain if it's going to make the parashas look a little bit nicer. So for the parashas is so expensive anyway, for a few more bucks, we'll throw Sirtu for good luck. But getting back to what really does need Sirtu, one thing that really, truly needed Sirtu, Belishim Sofek, and that was Mezuzah. And the Gemara we just read said that Sirtu Shev Mezuzah Alocha L'Moshim Sinai. It's a very, very serious Alocha, very, very important Alocha, Alocha L'Moshim Sinai. So now that we show them turn around and ask almost the flip question of what we spoke about before, why do we need a halacha Moshe Mesinai to tell me to do Sirtu no Mezuzah? Wouldn't I have known it on my own? Didn't I learn Git in Davav? Don't I know that everything needs Sirtu? The starting point of Sirtu is any and every pasuk throughout, not just Chumash, throughout Navi, Ksuvim, Tzuchim, and Yoel, that the Quran says Gittin, require Sirtu. So why do I need a Kishbar to tell my Shabbat? Oh, by the way, Mezuzah needs Sirtu. That wouldn't have needed Sirtu. So what's the answer to that question? So according to Rebbe Tam, the answer is obvious. According to Rebbe Tam, remember the Sirtu that's required by all psukim is only what we call the top line or the box, the very, very limited scope of Sirtu. The chiddush of the halacha Moshe Sinai is a koshita v'shita, that you require Sirtu on every single line. That is not what the Gemara Gittin is talking about. If you're writing super from Yoel, just make the top line, make the bottom of the box, or whatever you want to call it, but there's no need whatsoever to make subsequent lines. Al-Zech Chitcha Torah, that Sirtu Chumazuz Halacha Moshe Mesinai. According to the Ramban from Wednesday this year, it's also very easy to understand why there's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, a Sirtu Chumazuzah, because according to the Ramban, Sirtu was linked to what you read. What you don't read, what you never read, doesn't require Sirtu. That's why the Ramban defended what Tzul and Alchemy don't need Sirtu. Mezuzah? Well, imagine how often you read Mezuzah? Twice every 7 years you check the Mezuzah. Mezuzah is not something that really should have qualified as a read material. And therefore, based on the Gemara's and Gittin above, there's really no reason to insist on Sirtu by Mezuzah. So why do you need Sirtu by Mezuzah? That's the Chiddush of Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So, Bein Lefir Bein Tam, Bein Lefir Ramban, Sirtu Shel Mezuzah, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, is adding something, it's adding a component. According to Bein Tam, it's adding lines. According to Ramban, it's adding the entire Sirtu, because Mezuzah would have snuck in between the cracks, not requiring Sirtu, like Tefillin, in fact, doesn't, because it's not red. Kamash Balon, you still need Sirtu. But according to the Deis and Tosfos, but primarily in Maseches Sota, that didn't accept neither Rabbeinu Tam nor the Ramban. So back to square one. So why did the Pasuk to tell me that? I'm sorry. Why did the Halacha Moshe Sinai to tell me that Sirtu is necessary by Mezuzah? Why would I feel otherwise? So Lechora, the answer is as follows. Let's go back to the third of Mamre Chumash again. So the Gemara says that in the first line, "Never mir bechilki amar b'chama b'guri amarav." Kol mezuzah she'ena misur tetes psula, raminyam bechilke didea misur tetes mezuzah halacha Moshe Mesinai. Notice that when the Gemara speaks about Sirtu on mezuzah, it is not addressing the question of should I or should I not do Sirtu. I don't need halacha Mesinai for that. The fact that I'm not allowed to write psukim without Sirtu, the Gemara get above it, it's a din deraisa. That's for sure is true. The discussion about Sirtu on mezuzah is, okay, I did an avera. Chatosya Visi Pashati. But now I have a $200 mezuzah without Sirtu. So if not for the special, unique halacha Moshe Mesinai of kol mezuzah she'en with the set, that's the key word here, was psula, I would have said, okay, it did something wrong. Not every mistake that's done disqualifies something. So I would have thought that sirtut is a din, if you want to put it in lom sirtut, it's din the gavra. You as a gavra were supposed to have done sirtut. You didn't do sirtut, okay, you made a mistake, try better next time, but the chepsut mezuzah wasn't psula. Where does it say that a mezuzah is psula because of lack of sirtut? That was the need for the secondary halacha of Moshe Mesinai. Kol mezuzah in mesutetas psula. It's literally psula. The daraisa halacha of Moshe Mesinai. So at the end of the day, we understand both of these halachas. Tefillin ain't tzrichin sirtut. Mezuzah tzrichin sirtut. We're good to go. We understand why we need these halachas. We understand the chiddush of these halachas. We understand the differences of these halachas. We have really three different approaches in the Rishonim to the entire sugya. We had the Rabbi Tam's pshat that. There's top line sirtut versus every line sirtut. We had the Ramban's understanding to the sugya that there are differences between the items that are red versus not red. We saw the Tosfos of Masechet Sota that doesn't have any of those distinctions. The Tosfos has a further distinction. Just because you're supposed to do it doesn't necessarily mean it apostles could be evident unless you have a special halacha Moshe Mesinai to that effect. But now we have almost the third example, which we would have probably should have started with. Maybe forget about mezuzahs and tefillin. What about Sefer Torah? What about Sefer Torah proper? The Sefer Torah requires sirtut. So strangely enough, out of all the items that we're going to discuss about sirtut, the one that is the least clear is Sefer Torah. Tefillin we know for a fact, though. Mezuzahs we know for a fact, do. And Sefer Torah is unclear. Does it say anywhere explicitly in the Gemara that Sefer Torah requires sirtut? It's very hard to start dashing kavachom from halacha Moshe Mesinai. So if you can use
it's the whole halacha Moshe
Mesinai
is because it's telling you, so it should be me, then it should be
the other. But again, you're superimposing a minute time, guessing Ramban, so we don't know. We're not sure. I'm starting from a clean slate. I want to know, Rabbi, I'm about to start to say Torah. Am I supposed to see it or not? So comes the Gemara and doesn't talk about it. But let's talk about a few other things. So let's take a look at the 10th of the Mamikomos. It's a sugi masechah sota that yud zayin in the days. The Gemara here is not talking about tefillin. It's not talking about mezuzah. It's not talking about the sektora. It's talking about megillas sota. It's talking about a woman whose husband was suspicious that she may have been mizdana with somebody. He told her not to go into a room with somebody. She went in and violated his words. She had to go kini and stira. Now she becomes a suah labailim with suffolk. Maybe she was mizana. You have to go to the base of mikvah. She'll bring her whole club in mincha. And you have to write down all the words on the megillah. And you have to erase it in the water. Give it a drink. The whole parasha is not so. And parasha is sota. So part of the process is to write the megillah sota. So comes the Gemara, the 10th of the Gemara comes and says, kosva igeres psula. If you write the Megillah Sota like an igeres, like a letter, like it's igeres of Purim Azos, like a postcard, you write it very, very almost like sloppy, just like an igeres, it's psula, but say for Amr Chamana. The Torah says you have to write, the Chosra is also said, but say for Amr Chamana. It says that you can't just write it on any word. In a very, very haphazard way, very sloppy way, it has to be by Sefer, meaning all the standards of Sefer. What do those words mean? So Rashi says, igeres below sirtut. First of all, the Gemara doesn't even say what Igeres even means. Rashi says Igeres refers to B'li Sirtut. Not everyone even agrees to Rashi. Rashi says that the Chiddush of the Braisa, of this post, this Drash of the Sota, is that you have to do Sirtut before you write the Megillah Sota. But Sefer, when Rashi continues, the halacha l'Moshe B'Sinai she'as Svarim tzrichim Sirtut. There's a halacha l'Moshe B'Sinai that Svarim requires Sirtut. So if that's the case, that it says the sefer halacha. So therefore, it's self-evident, says Rashi, that svarim sefer requires it. So strangely, out of all the cases of the dvarim shavadusha that requires sirtut, tefillin the Gemara talks about, mezuzah the Gemara talks about, megillah sota the Gemara talks about, sefer the Gemara talks about, Rashi says the Gemara, we can infer it from the comparison of megillah sota to a sefer.
So sefer means something kedusha.
It took him. That's the key. So we have good timing for our discussion. I wasn't sure whether we'd get to this Ma'amar Mochum today, or it'd be a little bit of a disappointment to get to it on Wednesday and they have to Purim. So I figured if we wouldn't have made it today, I would have said, well, Shusha Purim is still okay. But we made it a little bit before Purim as well. And that's the 11th of the Ma'amar Gamos, where the Gemara has a critical statement that's also a very ambiguous statement, something about Siyatut. The Gemara is 11th of the Ma'amar Gamos in Megillah Tanzayin Rebeis. It's commenting on the Pesukim at the end of the Megillah. Divrei Shalom Be'emes. The Pesukim describe that Mordechai sends, or has to send out all the messages that tell everybody they should observe the Purim. They send the entire story of the Megillah to all the Jews throughout the kingdom of Achashverosh. And the Bible says, Divrei Shalom Be'emes, the Kayim is from Purim, is my name, etc. Very, very strange phrase. Divrei Shalom Be'emes. The Pashup Shah just sounds like they said the good cheers and goodwill and, you know, tell them this, the truth is what really would happen. The Teshuvah Pet tells us, "I'm Rabbi Tanchum, I'm Rabbi As, I'm Rabbi Asi." Malamed shetzricha sirtut ki amita shel Torah. The Gemara says, "Drasha." The Gemara says that we have a right to darshan halachas from Megillas Esther. The Gemara says Megillas Esther is different from all the other kids for Hakodesh except for the Chumash. It's the lidrosh keter atzma that somehow was written. It was written beruach Hakodesh, and within the words of Megillas Esther can be found some of the details of the halachas about Megillas Esther. So the Gemara says, from here we derive that Megillas Esther requires sirtut. You have to make lines. If your Megillah doesn't have lines, it's no good. It has to have lines. Why can Amita Shel Torah? Like the truth of the Torah itself. What in the world is Amita Shel Torah? So Rashi on the spot says, Amita Shel Torah, Kisei B'Tarachmo. That's probably what the phrase means. The truth, but the truth. That's the same Torah. Sirtut Halach Moshe Mishinai. So Rashi makes reference to what he said in Masechet Sot as well. That a sefer, a sefer requires a sirtut, and therefore, since the sefer Torah requires sirtut, and Megillas Esther is compared to Amit Mishul Torah, therefore, it's going to require the sirtut as well. It's going to require the highest possible level of sirtut. According to Benetav, it's going to need every single line, and it's going to pass. It's going to be psula without sirtut, so it's going to have all the chumras of sefer Torah. This is, of course, assuming that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. Now notice, when we introduce the sugya of Sirtut vis-a-vis Sefer Torah, we were quick to observe that the Gemara never says anywhere, Amarav, Sirtut shall Sefer Torah lach receive. There's no such statement anywhere, at least in Talmud Bavli. We're inferring that a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut from the comparison of Megillah Sota to something, and from the comparison of the Megillah to something. So it comes to us in the 12th of the Ramakamos in our sugya, in Gittin, in the 12th of the Ramakamos, where the bold lines begin. Had the Amar Kavod to Megillah, the one we just read, Divrei Shalom Be'emes, Malamed, Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Delav Hayinu Sefer Torah. Says Rabbeinu Tam, don't jump to any conclusions. This is not referring to a Sefer Torah. You know why? Why can't it be referring to Sefer Torah? The Halma Boy Sirtut. Because in reality, says Rabbeinu Tam, guess what? A Sefer Torah doesn't need sirtut. I'll bring you the greatest raya that a sefer Torah doesn't need sirtut. It doesn't say it anywhere in Shas. Amar Rava sefer Torah tzricha sirtut. Everything else is discussed. The Gemara talks about Megillas Esther even, and it talks about the tefillah not needing sirtut. It talks about mezuzah needing sirtut. Halacha Moshe Tzidit Psula. The Gemara doesn't spare a moment to discuss every single nuance, and the biggest one, the most important of all, no mention, no word, zero about a sefer Torah. Says Rabbeinu Tam, nothing is required in halacha until we are told that it is the starting point in our entire observance of mitzvahs. Everything's mutter until proven awesome. Everything's kosher to proven treif. Everything is taught to proven tameh. So nothing is needed until proven that it's needed. There's no gemara that says sefer Torah requires sirtut, therefore it doesn't. So the question is, well, wait a second, says Rabbeinu Tam. So what does the gemara mean in the second Megillah? What is that mysterious amita shel Torah that the pasuk is referring to? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Elahainu mezuzah. Well, we want to, again, let's not forget, according to Rabbeinu Tam, when we say that sirtut on psukim, that is a very, very watered down sirtut. That's the top line and nothing else. So you want to tell me that Megillas Esther requires every single line. It's like mezuzah, it's much more chomer. So you're going to have to prove it. So just to fall back on the ground and say, well, it's psukim is not going to need more than just a line, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So comes the Adam and says, Elahainu mezuzah. You want to know what a mita shel Torah is? Mezuzah. A Megillas Esther is compared to mezuzah. So why in the world the Karla Mita Shel Torah? What a strange phrase to describe a Mita Shel Torah. If you tell me from Brachos to Vezos Abracha, that's a Mita Shel Torah, I got that. You're going to tell me that mezuzah, I mean, I'm all for mezuzahs, but a Mita Shel Torah is a very, very strange phrase. So it's, man, don't be bothered about that. Hashem Sheyesh B'Shem Yichud Malchus Shemayim. He said, a mezuzah encapsulates the essence of Torah. What's the essence of Kol Torah? Yichud Hashem, Kolos Malchus Shemayim, Pasuk Shema Yisrael, the essence of Kol Torah Kula. So therefore, Meditam says, so therefore it can be referred to as the, what about the Amita Shel Torah? But the bottom line is, that says, it says Rebbeinu Tam, there is no need whatsoever for Sefer Torah to even have a Sefer. So we have a few loose ends according to Rebbeinu Tam. We'll have a little bit more to fine-tune the Megillus Esther part. So we'll save that part for Shushan Purim. But there's also something that's almost sticking out a little bit, and that's the Gemara back about Megillus Sota. The Gemara said that Megillus Sota requires a Sefer, just like a Sefer Amar Rachamana. So now you're telling me that a Sefer Torah itself doesn't need Sirtut. That's a little bit strange. So if you remember when we read that Gemara about the din of Sirtut by Megillah Sota, we observed, it doesn't say Sirtut. It's cause for Igeris. Rashi stuck in. Oh, Igeris, yeah, that means without Sirtut. Is there another option in that Gemara, another chat in that Gemara? The answer is obviously yes. We'll be able to share on Wednesday. We'll try to put together the final touches with the Sugya. We'll give you a little bit of the Purim part, a little bit of the Sefer part.
Shir on Monday will be 5 minutes earlier.
Shabbos.